now like to invite up Brittany Hunt of Vineyard Spindle Church for the invocation.
If you would please join me in prayer. God, you tell us in your word that without vision, the people perish. And so as Mayor Keeler comes before the community today with a vision for 2020 and beyond, we just ask, Lord, that you would bless our ears and our minds to gather together as a community, as one, to take up the cause of integrity, of union, and of moving forward, Lord, to support what he's doing. We pray, Father, that we would be the kind of community that leads the way in showing what it looks like to have diversity and unity at the same time. We pray that we would lead the way in being a place where people can come from all backgrounds, all walks of life, and truly show what it looks like to live alongside one another. We pray that we can be the kind of community where we are aware of the weakest one, aware of the needs of our neighbors, and we go across the street to lift them up. We thank you for what you're doing in this place. We thank you for the vision that you have. May we be a kind of people who are committed to carrying it out alongside our mayor, recognizing that we are all in this together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brittany, for the inspirational invocation and for everything you do in service to our community. Thank you. At this time, I would like to invite Eunice Antonucci, Pauline Dagnell, and Beth Slezak to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Eunice, Pauline, and Beth, thank you very much for leading us in the pledge. Beth, an additional thank you to you and the staff here at the Senior Center for hosting us and for the services you provide to our seniors every day. Thank you. All right, I'd just like to take a second to acknowledge some of the elected officials and other dignitaries that are with us here today. New York State Assemblyman John McDonald. Thanks, John. County Legislator Bill Ricard. County Legislator, Chairman of the Cohoes Democrat Party and Minority Leader of the Legislature, Gil Ethier. Judge Tom Marshall. From the Cohoes City Council, President Bill McCarthy. Chris Briggs. Adam Biggs, and Don Russell. Also, Cohoes School Superintendent Jennifer Spring, and Assistant Superintendent Peggy O'Shea. And from our Fire Department, Chief Joe Fodd is here. If I missed anybody, I apologize. And I just want to take a moment to thank all of our city employees, our department heads, our clerks, the administrative staff at City Hall, our police officers, firefighters, DPW workers, our library staff, and our crossing guards. Let's give all these city employees a round of applause for everything that they do for our city on a daily basis. Last but not least, I want to thank the unsung heroes, the folks who volunteer for our numerous boards and volunteer in other capacities. Thank you for everything that you do for Cohoes. I appreciate everyone joining me here today for this, my first State of the City address. I'm deeply honored to be the mayor of my hometown of Cohoes, especially in this, the 150th anniversary of Cohoes as a city. Just over 40 days ago, I stood on the stage at the Cohoes Music Hall, surrounded by family, colleagues, and friends. I raised my right hand, and I pledged to discharge the duties of the office of mayor. It's a pledge I take very seriously. At that time, and repeatedly since, I promised that I would do three things. First and foremost, I would work to return honor, integrity, and professionalism to City Hall. Secondly, I would work to restore a sense of community in Cohoes. And number three, I would work to rebuild the strained relationships with federal, state, and local officials who are essential partners in moving Cohoes forward. In just 40 days working together, we have made progress on all fronts. Number one, to restore professionalism, on day two, I appointed Public Safety Commissioner Jim Ward to address leadership issues in the police department. Number two, we began to strengthen our sense of community in that first weekend when we hosted an open house at the Cohoes Library, inviting Neighborhood Watch, the Spindle City Historic Society, the Cohoes Alumni Association, and Choose Cohoes for Arts to showcase their work. We brought attention to the wonderful array of library programs, and along with Assemblyman John McDonald, we hosted a census information session and job fair. More than 200 people attended, and 22 applied for census jobs. It was a great day, and we have continued events like that every week since. Number three, to repair relationships, I have met with dozens of federal, state, and local officials, and am gratified by their response. Congressman Paul Tonko has come to Cohoes three times in January alone, and he is committed to help us on issues ranging from environmental to housing and a host of other issues. Senator Neil Breslin joined us at a second census job fair and pledged his continued support. Assemblyman McDonald has been tireless in his efforts to jumpstart a range of initiatives, and we have met with several of Governor Cuomo's staff as we pursue technical assistance and grant funding. I've also met with mayors and county officials to discuss shared services and collaborative projects. And we are diligently working with area law enforcement agencies to address drugs and crime. Clearly, we have made progress in the first 40 days, but we've also learned a lot. Unfortunately, some of what we've discovered is deeply troubling, but important for the citizens of Cohoes to be aware of. We all know Cohoes has been through a rough patch, but as it turns out, it's rougher than we knew, and there's more to patch than I anticipated. We cannot ignore these challenges. I want to be clear, transparent, and honest with my fellow Cohoesers. The list of neglected infrastructure needs is long and expensive. There were dubious economic development deals done in the last 4 years that taxpayers will be burdened with for decades. There are potentially costly irregularities in the civil service office. And the city has paid and will continue to pay a high price for leadership issues that allowed our police department to become politicized. Let me talk about all four of these issues individually. First, on neglected infrastructure. Our water treatment facility needs a $2.5 million upgrade. at our magnificent City Hall. The roof leaks and the windows need replacing, and the heater is outdated. The roof at our beautiful library also is leaking, and in both cases, when it rains outside, it literally rains inside. And when a roof leaks, structural integrity worsens and mold follows. In this senior center, they need new carpets and tile work. The Central Ave Firehouse has simply outlived its useful life expectancy. Our roads and sidewalks are in various states of disrepair. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. So what do we do? All of these things need to be done, and it's smarter and less expensive in the long run to do these things sooner rather than later. We are taking a comprehensive look at all of the city's infrastructure needs, creating a priority list, determining the best potential sources for funding, and working to secure those dollars so that we can get the job done. Our City Hall was built in 1895. It is historic and majestic, and it must be preserved and restored. First, as any homeowner would do, we are taking the necessary steps to repair the leaks in the roof. But we are also getting the required engineering studies, energy audits, and more to create a comprehensive checklist of what else needs to be done. Same is true for the library. Both are long-term projects, and both are now underway. In 2020, we're getting back to the basics. It won't be flashy, but it needs to be done. Paving roads, replacing defective water valves, flushing hydrants, cleaning catch basins. And we're collaborating with surrounding communities on essential sewage treatment projects and more. None of this can be done without people. We recently welcomed the addition of Steve Hennessy as the new Commissioner of Public Works. My clear instruction to him was to focus on the three P's, potholes, paving, and plowing. And by all accounts, he's off to a fantastic start. During the first storm we had in January, I was out riding on the DPW tandem truck with DPW employee Carl Van Bramer. It was a valuable learning experience that reinforced my belief that DPW plays a critical role in keeping our city running. Again, I want to thank Steve and all the dedicated employees at DPW for everything they do day in and day out. All right, now let's move on to economic development. The last administration doubled the salary of the Director of Economic Development to $132,000. My administration is more fiscally conservative. At my direction, that salary was cut in half, back in line with the salary in the recent past. In addition, a $15,000 per year CEO position on the Cohoes Industrial Development Agency was created and held by the previous mayor. He then presided over the IDA for 3 years and pushed through some dubious deals that will burden Cohoes taxpayers for decades. Projects were bonded that should not have been. Taxpayer dollars were doled out that should not have been. Some may ask, why am I talking about this now? They may ask why we cannot just move on. I agree it is time to move forward, but it's essential to be transparent to the people of Cohoes, and you need to know the full story. Yes, the last 4 years saw a lot of economic development in Cohoes, but now that we're able to examine the details, it has become very clear that too many of these deals were not done in the best interest of Cohoes taxpayers or even the Cohoes business community. Let me just share one example. Everyone knows that parking is at a premium on Remsen Street, yet the previous administration made a deal to give just one developer a sizable monopoly on downtown, prime downtown parking. He was given an option on the parking lot by Smith's, on two parking lots across the street on Remsen Street, and a third around the corner. It makes no sense to give up those parking lots because it would be at the expense of all the businesses and the residents in the surrounding blocks. In a separate deal, unbeknownst even to the planning board, taxpayers would be footing the bill to construct an enclosed two-story parking garage within a block of that development. All parking spots would be for the exclusive use of that developer and his tenants. There is no economically viable way to make that happen. Yet the developer has a signed contract. We are doing everything we can to mitigate the problems caused by this and other questionable economic development deals done in the last 4 years. Some we're just going to have to live with. Going forward, I will take a different, more comprehensive approach to economic development. For me, there are three fundamental questions. Number one, does it work economically for all parties, for the taxpayers of Cohoes as well as the investor? We want to understand the full cost of the project to the community, not just the cost of the building, but what is the cost of the schools, the infrastructure, parking, transportation, and quality of life, etc. And does the value outweigh the cost for the taxpayers and all residents of Cohoes? Number two, is it sustainable and does it add value to Cohoes in the long run? I've said all along, we need to be focused on projects that 50 years from now, our grandchildren will be celebrating. Question number three, has there been community input and involvement in the process? I can tell you firsthand that the people of Cohoes have a lot of good ideas and they want to be involved. We need community involvement as we work to revitalize and strengthen Cohoes. There's a lot to do, but we are well on our way. I've appointed Steve Napier as the Director of Community and Economic Development. Steve has been working tirelessly with me to chart a new path. We've been visiting existing businesses across the city. We've met with business owners who are now contemplating coming to Cohoes. And we are talking with other entrepreneurs and developers. We are building relationships with the entire Cohoes business community as we work to create our own small business association in Cohoes. And tomorrow morning, we'll be hosting a meeting of business owners to get their input on how, together, we can best secure, strengthen, and champion Cohoes businesses. So let me emphasize, we are engaging with businesses from across the entire city. We are working to reimagine our downtown, including the site of the fire on Remsen Street, where we must turn adversity into opportunity. Because it is bigger than just Remsen Street, we have two major commercial corridors through the city. The State Route 470 going east from the 112th Street Bridge to the western edge of the city at Baker Ave, and the Saratoga Street 787 corridor, which runs north-south from the Waterford Bridge to Tibbetts Place. Our vision of the Cohoes Business District incorporates all of these thoroughfares, and that will be reflected as we actively pursue partnerships and investments, including Governor Cuomo's $10 million downtown revitalization initiative. In sum, the new approach to economic development will be citywide, comprehensive, and cost-effective. The next issue of concern pertains to civil service. When former Common Council President Chris Briggs took over as acting mayor last summer, he was alerted to potentially very serious problems in the way the Cohoes Civil Service Department had been operating for the last 4 years. As a result, New York State Department of Civil Service officials were asked to review Cohoes Civil Service Department records and practice. That review began last fall. We have not received the findings or the recommendation from the state, but once those findings are received, the public will be made aware. We will take appropriate action to address the issues and resolve the problems. And going forward, we will take the necessary steps to ensure that the Civil Service Department is run in a professional manner. The fourth and final issue that demands greater transparency is the stain on the reputation of our police department because it was allowed to be politicized. Police officers generally do not enjoy the luxury of a Monday through Friday 9-to-5 job. They work weekends and holidays, afternoons and midnight shifts, and they often perform dangerous tasks in unpleasant environments. The Cohoes Police Department does a very good job keeping the crime rate low, and when crime does occur, they solve it. I have every confidence in the abilities of middle management, rank-and-file patrolmen, and detectives. They have my respect. And admiration. But to function at its peak, a police department needs the support and trust of the people they serve, and over the past 4 years, that relationship has been strained. I've heard it from the people of Cohoes, I've read it in the media accounts, and from the start, I have been questioned about the Cohoes Police Department in general and its leadership in particular. That's why on my second day in office, I hired Jim Ward as the Public Safety Commissioner. Jim is a highly respected 30-year veteran of the Cohoes Police Department who retired as Assistant Chief 5 years ago. I brought him in specifically because he's a leader and knows the department and its potential. I have tasked the Public Safety Commissioner with three important assignments. First, take the necessary steps to get the police department certified as an accredited law enforcement agency through the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services, and I'm happy to report that that process has begun. Second, rebuild relationships with federal, state, and local law enforcement and partner with them whenever possible to reduce drugs and crime in Cohoes. Again, I'm happy to report that Commissioner Ward has met repeatedly with key regional law enforcement partners, and the partnerships are already bearing fruit as multi-agency task force have made gun and drug-related arrests in the month of January alone. So we're sending a clear message to drug dealers. We are coming for you. Third, develop a comprehensive plan to reduce drug activity in Cohoes that includes not just law enforcement, but prevention, intervention, and treatment. By teaming up with our schools, our housing authority, drug courts, social service providers, and more. Again, I'm pleased to report that we have begun conversations with all these groups. I think it's fair to say that in just 40 days, we have made noticeable improvement in shifting the focus back to where it belongs, on the good work that our police officers and detectives do day in and day out. Commissioner Ward and I are committed to addressing the leadership issue that allowed our police department to become politicized, and we are committed to ushering in a new era of professionalism in the Cohoes Police Department. While it is imperative that we work to mitigate problems left behind, it is equally important that we carve out a new path to a brighter future in Cohoes. We are actively engaging with area churches, civic groups, arts and cultural organizations, and not-for-profits that are the heart and soul of this city. We are working to create a vibrant 21st century Cohoes Public Library that will be the hub of our community. We are exploring new and innovative opportunities to collaborate with the Cohoes City School District. We are working with the Cohoes Housing Authority on a host of issues to improve the quality of life for their residents. We are committed to our partnership with this wonderful senior center. There are three other very special projects I want to discuss with you. First is our Cleaner, Greener Cohoes initiative. We are taking a comprehensive approach to creating a more environmentally sustainable city, from buildings to street lighting, to green spaces, to recycling. Every aspect of how people live, work, and play in Cohoes will be considered as we map a cleaner, greener future for our community. We are embracing Governor Andrew Cuomo's Climate Smart Communities program as a framework for this effort. It is designed to expedite progress in mitigating and adapting to climate change at the local level. By participating, the city gets access to targeted grant programs, rebates, and a wide variety of initiatives, along with free technical assistance, training, and planning tools. Cohoes first got involved in the Climate Smart Communities back in 2009 under the leadership of then-Mayor John McDonald, but the program has been dormant for a decade. Cohoes has a lot of catching up to do, but just in our first 40 days, we have laid the groundwork for progress. We owe thanks to the Cohoes Common Council for taking the necessary action to jumpstart the program at the first Common Council meeting. Our city planner is creating a Cohoes Climate Smart Community Task Force to gather public input and expertise. In conjunction with jump-starting the Climate Smart Communities program, we are working to accelerate progress on the cleaner, greener Cohoes by working with Congressman Paul Tonko on federal funding opportunities and technical assistance for cities to become more environmentally sustainable. By coordinating with New York State Assemblyman John McDonald to bring weatherization workshops and other energy efficiency programs to Cohoes residents. By requesting that New York State Energy Research and Development Authority and the New York Power Authority provide a comprehensive energy audit of Cohoes City Hall, our public library, the Cohoes Music Hall, and other city buildings to identify opportunities to conserve energy and reduce costs to taxpayers. By engaging with NYPA to develop an LED street lighting program for Cohoes designed to reduce energy consumption and costs. And by revitalizing the Cohoes Erie Canal Parkway and other long-neglected city parks and green spaces. The park beautification effort will be led by newly appointed Deputy Commissioner of Public Works, Ken Radliff. Why are we doing all of this? Because creating a cleaner, greener Cohoes is the smart thing to do economically, and it is the right thing to do for the health and long-term sustainability of our community. We owe it to ourselves, our children and grandchildren. The second special project of 2020 is short-term but high-impact. I'm talking about getting a full Cohoes count in the 2020 census. And for that, we need all of your help. Not only is it the right thing to do for posterity, it is also critically important for Cohoes to ensure that we get the education funding, the transportation funding, infrastructure funding, park funding, and maximum sales tax revenue that the city is entitled to. If our count in 2020 is short, our accounts for the next decade will be short. We have already joined with Assemblyman McDonald and Senator Breslin in hosting two census job fairs and information sessions. So mark your calendar. The census starts March 12th. Stay tuned. You'll be hearing more from us on the census. Let's work together to get it right. Now I want to end where I started, talking about how proud I am to be mayor, particularly in 2020, in this, the 150th anniversary of the city of Cohoes. We have a lot to celebrate, and we are going to do just that. In December, we commissioned a logo to commemorate our city's 150th anniversary. The logo was designed by Lauren Payne and Robert Clancy and their talented team of graphic artists at Spiral Design on Mohawk Street. The logo features an image of the sun rising over our magnificent Cohoes Falls, marking 2020 as the dawn of a new day in Cohoes. The logo also displays a bridge between the dates 1870, the year that Cohoes became a city, and 2020. That bridge represents a link between our past and our present. With the artwork completed, Cohoes native Barbara LaMarche, whose family name adorned a Remsen Street variety store at the time of the Cohoes Centennial, crafted our 150th anniversary slogan, "Honor the past, explore the present, and inspire the future." Barbara, thank you. I know you're in here. I saw you. Throughout this, our 150th year as a city, Cohoes will do just that. Four signature events will mark the year. And we will be collaborating with the community on a host of other celebratory activities throughout the year. There will be something for everyone. The first signature event was the Winter Carnival at Van Skuyk Island Park that we had just on February 1st. Throughout the day, hundreds of current and former Cohoesiers enjoyed horse-drawn carriage rides, trolley rides, live ice sculpting of the Cohoes Mastodon, games, music, s'mores, and more. It was a great community gathering, and I hope a lot of you took advantage of that. It was great. We owe a big thank you to all those who made it happen. Today, I am announcing the three additional signature events. So mark your calendars. May 15th through 25th, we will host our Cohoes 150 Heritage Festival, preceded by Cohoes Restaurant Week. With community input and involvement, we will schedule a wide range of activities that best illustrate our rich history and draw people into the city. Events will include the Memorial Day Parade and other traditional Memorial Day weekend activities. September 12th will feature the 150th anniversary parade and cultural celebration, with a parade down Columbia Street and a celebration of our cultural heritage to follow. November 14th will feature the Cohoes 150 Festival of Music and Arts. Anchored at the Cohoes Music Hall, we will feature the artists and musicians of the past, present, and future. 50 years after the Cohoes Centennial Celebration, some of us still have photos, memorabilia, and memories of those happy days. What we do now impacts the future, whether it is restoring our historic buildings, creating a greener, cleaner Cohoes, or simply celebrating our 150th anniversary. Together, we are working to do things across the city that will be valued 50 years from now as the city celebrates its bicentennial. Just think, some of the children who will participate in this year's 150th anniversary events will also be present at the 200th anniversary. Hopefully, they will look back at 2020 with equally fond memories as they still enjoy the fruits of our labor. Today, the state of the city is strong and only getting stronger. I thank you for bestowing on me the responsibility and the honor of leading this wonderful city that we all love at this historic time. Thank you.